Now you must understand that Egypt was the America of its day. It was the superpower of its era. It stood head and shoulders above any other kingdom of its time. It has gone down in history as being the preeminent government power of its age. We are still worshiping around, going around, taking pictures around, studying around, observing the magnitude of the brilliance of the kingdom of Egypt. We're still studying. Their pyramids are still standing. Thousands of years later, their architectural designs are still being studied. Their craftsmanship was known in all the earth. Egypt was the superpower of its era. Pharaoh was the kind of leader that you could not have an international summit and leave out the Pharaoh of Egypt, because Egypt was a superpower. You have to understand that these people are not fooling with no jackleg, upstart, Johnny come lately individual who's an egotistical maniac. Pharaoh was a force to be reckoned with. He decided whether men lived or died. He made a decision and you couldn't catch your breath. He made a decision and armies were destroyed. Women were violated. He made a decision and entire villages were set on fire. He was not to be trifled with. Had he risen again, that's why Moses ran and spent 40 years, because Pharaoh was not to be fooled with. It is that kind of power that is chasing a group of slaves out to the riverbank. Can you imagine the kind of fear they felt when they heard Pharaoh's hoofbeats coming in behind them? He didn't just use his chariots. He picked out 600 chosen chariots, the fastest in the fleet, the mightiest of the crowd, the most skilled warriors that he had. 600 men chasing a bunch of farmers down to the Red Sea. And if God didn't make a way, they would have been totally destroyed. I feel the Holy Spirit saying right now, there's somebody watching me right now, that you're in a predicament that if God doesn't make a way, you're gonna totally be destroyed. Man can't help you, friends can't help you, neighbors can't help you, your uncles can't help you. You're in a crisis mode situation, and whatever that is that's coming up behind you, it threatens to totally annihilate you. And that's why God's got you watching this message right now, because if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. And he's about to pull you out. And if you miss the rest of the message, this is your jump off point. You could dance right here, because God's about to snatch you out of your worst nightmare, of your deepest fear, of your worst anxiety. God is about to pull you out. When God gets ready to move it, he will move it out of the way. And I know you hear the hoof prints. And I know you feel the threat, because the enemy always threatens before he destroys. He's a terrorist. He wants you to be fearful and frightened and afraid. It's not like this was a sneak attack. They could hear trouble coming to terrorize them. Their emotions were frozen. Their will was paralyzed. They were so distraught, they started murmuring and complaining against God and Moses. They wanted to go back into Egypt. Back into bondage, back into rape, back into slavery. Anytime you want bad better than good, you're afraid. I want to talk to people who are so afraid that you chose bad over good. You chose wrong over right. You chose to stay in a house full of violence rather than to get out there on your own. But this is the day of your liberation. This is the day of your emancipation. This is the day that you are set free. And the Bible said that God used what was in his hand against what Pharaoh had in his hand. Pharaoh had 600 chosen chariots, skilled men of warrior. God had water and wind. And the Bible said he spoke to the wind, and the wind blew the water back for miles and miles. Then he told Moses, he said, not only will I bring you out, but I'm going to bring you out comfortably. I'm going to bring you out comfortably. See, the Red Sea experience is where God teaches Israel separation. So point one is God will separate you at the Red Sea. He says, I am going to teach you separation. I am the God of separation. I separated day from night. I separated light from dark. I separated water from ground. I separated the firmaments that were above the water from the firmaments that were beneath the water. I am the God of separation. And so you don't have to be afraid of what's trying to overtake you, because I'm the God of separation. And I will put a barrier between you and it, and I will set you apart because you're mine. I am the God of separation. Somebody write down, he's the God of separation. He's the God of separation. And God uses water to teach them that I will separate you by the water. And the Bible says that they stepped down into the dry seabed of the Red Sea. And there they go walking through on dry ground, because when God brings you out, he'll put you in an environment so good that you don't even have to get muddy. Later on in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul will exegete this text and tell us that what we call a Red Sea deliverance, God called baptism. For he says, did not God not baptize the children of Israel unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea? I didn't know I was at a baptism service. I thought I was coming out of a fire escape. But God says, no, this is not just an escape. This is a baptism. And I had to baptize them because they went in the water as slaves. They came out of the water as sons. I had to baptize them to put a line of demarcation between how they defined themselves then and how they define themselves now, which is what baptism is for. For as many of us have been baptized into Jesus Christ, have been baptized into his death, that likewise we may be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We went down into his death, we come up into his life. They went down so that who the enemy was chasing could be pronounced dead. We died in the Red Sea. All of your slaves died in the Red Sea. Didn't none come out of the water but sons. But when Pharaoh got ready to step into the way that God had made for his people, instead of it being a way that the wicked could walk through too, when the wicked stepped down into the water, God told the wind, go back, and the waves collapse, and they drown. I know he is the master of the winds and the waves, because in the New Testament, when the disciples were crossing over on a ship, they woke Jesus up with sleep in his eye, and he stood on the bow of the ship, and he spoke to the same elements. He said, peace, be still. And the Bible took note, the winds and the waves obeyed him. That is the same wind and waves that obeyed him in the book of Exodus. When he spoke to the wind and said no more, it stopped blowing back the waves, and the waves came in, and Pharaoh drowned. Now see this with me, if you will. 600 chariots, horse-driven chariots, are drowning in the Red Sea. The animals, the chariots, the swords, and the shields are floating in the water. Josephus, the historian, says that bodies were littered all up against the banks of the Red Sea, coming up out of the water dead. So that when the women started dancing, they were dancing on the dead. Oh, hallelujah! Who would ever thought that God would deliver you so well that you would dance on what was dancing on top of you? And I know it sounds foolish, but that's why I'm telling you to dance in the desert. That's why I'm telling you to dance in the desert, because while you're dancing, your devils are dying. While you're dancing, your diseases are dying. While you're dancing, your debt is dying. While you're dancing, your enemies are dying. And when Miriam grabbed her tambourine, she did not just do it out of joy, she did it out of warfare. Because when you praise God, he is magnified. And the more you praise him, the more he'll work for you. So when you see God bringing you out, don't just stand there and look at him, but grab your tambourine and start dancing in your desert. If you praise him in your house, if you praise him in your living room, there they were, dancing in the desert. Little did they know that when these women started praising God, they would set off a catastrophic series of events with water. Remember when God told the woman, if you believe on me, as the scriptures have said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of water. Some things aren't going to happen till you praise him. Some things aren't going to happen till you speak up. Some things aren't going to happen till you grab your tambourine in the middle of your desert and say, I refuse to be depressed, and I refuse to cry, and I refuse to walk around this house looking all sad. I'm going to grab my tambourine, and devil, I'm going to dance on top of your head. I'm going to dance. Give me some old time Holy Ghost Pentecost. I'm gonna dance on him. And they all went down. Not one of them escaped. The death count was 100%. Not one man lived to tell what happened. Because when God says, I will destroy your enemy, he means I will totally annihilate your enemy. And I don't care how big he is, God says, I will bring him down. And the Red Sea closed in. But the Red Sea closed in, not just to destroy Pharaoh. It also closed in so that none of the lesser troops could follow the pursuit. That's point number two. Point number three, it closed in so that when the children of Israel got into the middle of the desert, they could not go back. Hey! Tell your neighbor, I can't go back. I'm too far in. I can't go back.